Right, welcome to the Hardcore Project. This is episode one. We managed to catch up with the band Mantlet. We caught up from where they began as a band. Managed to catch up their EPs and how they recorded them and their recording processes.
We also talked to them about their live shows, their merch and tape rips.
Sort of stuff that you'll see in the episode further on. Yeah, many much more indeed. Yeah, make sure you check it out.
All right, we're away. Thanks for joining us, boys.
Sorted. Yeah. So.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah. So this is Mantlet for you all from Coventry, going to Mantlet CVHC. We've got here. We've got Dane, and we've got the big Mac Daddy. That's how he's going down now, and that's how he's taking it. The reason we got Mantlet on this on the podcast is because, well, up and coming UK hardcore band, I'd say, from Coventry. Absolutely phenomenal, and obviously deserve a bit of recognition, boys. So thanks very much for coming on board.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no, thank you.
So I've been having a bit of a look around you, sort of like your Instagram and your Facebook and stuff. So I've seen, obviously, you've got like the one EP out and you got the split with Cold War. How did that reception go down? Well, for that,
We went down pretty well. The guys at Nuclear Family in Cold War just came to us and approached us, like, would you be interested in doing a split? And we were like, yeah, sure, why not? They're great guys. And then we kind of just YOLO'd it and recorded it literally a week before the lockdown, went up to Manchester, and the reception on it went really well. We sold out all of our tapes, didn't we? Like, all the alt covers and stuff.
Yeah, everything went on the first day.
Yeah, because you had the switches, didn't you? The SWHC and the CVHC switched, and then you had the hit and run cover.
That's it.
Yeah. That was genius. I was showing Matt it before. It was absolutely genius. I thought that was sick. That was good.
That was their idea, and to be honest, we were like, oh yeah, it'll be cool, whatever. But I think everyone was amazing. They turned up, and we were like, shit, this. Incredible.
Little rips like that, they matter, like little intricacies of attention like that, that really help.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think to a degree though, we've had like good feedback, and we're happy with how it came out, but I think it was unfortunately sort of the wrong time. You know, we were planning on doing a little tour with them to almost like support it, but
that's
obviously
right, that was April, wasn't it?
Vision, us, Cold War, and then obviously, you know, supports locals on each day. So we had support that, and tour. I think it was four or five. I think it was just a long weekend, to be fair.
It's a good old weekend.
It started off as two, and we sort of added one, and then another one got added, and we thought, oh, yeah.
This is
going to go on forever.
Let's just make it a week long. Let's just fucking go, boys. Have you got to be in work? Nah, fuck it. That's fair enough.
Not anymore. World tour, isn't it? Who needs work?
World domination. That's what's happening. And then fucking COVID came along. It was like, nah, no more tours for anyone. Which,
exactly.
It's fucking, that's really blowing everything out of proportion for music, hasn't it? I mean.
Yeah, I mean, there is that. It's like nobody's better off than anyone else. Yeah. Aren't we?
It's all about like the whole banding together, I think, as well. Like, a lot of people have been banding together, which is good to see. And it, you know, there's been a lot of struggles with sort of hardcore bands gelling together and stuff, and like disputes and all that. So I think seeing a lot of people come together as like a universal thing, I think that's always been good to see. And obviously all the support everyone's been throwing out for each other, and that's it's always quite wholesome to see from the UK hardcore community.
Yeah,
and I think something else that's come up. There's so many little people have been doing like little lockdown projects and stuff, and you never know whether there's these wicked EPs coming out. You never know whether you're going to hear from these people again, but it's just good to else to listen to, isn't it? For the people that are doing it, it's obviously it's something to do.
Yeah, and it's still creating the music that you still want to hear. I mean, I'm assuming you boys are writing during lockdown.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easier now than it was at the start because obviously we can get in the studio and stuff. But
of course.
We're trying to be productive as we can
as possible. Yeah, it's as you say, it's quite difficult, isn't it? Just due to everything that's happened. I'm just hoping that obviously in the up and coming months, everything does get lifted, you know, to a safe point, and then everyone can just start recording again. We can start maybe going to shows and stuff. But It's still going to be weird.
It's definitely going to be weird. Yeah. I don't think anything will be the same as it was before for a while.
Not for a good long time. You're quite right there. I think it's definitely going to take some getting used to.
It'll be stages, won't it?
Yeah. Just going to be fucking truly weird. It's like 3 years down the line, everything will be perfect. And like, we'll look back and like nothing will have happened. Like, that's going to be the worst part. Like, what was that fucking blip humanity had back then?
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
How have you boys been doing with lockdown then? Just sort of finding things to get by, just sort of.
Yeah, I've been all right.
Keep yourselves busy, try anything new. I know I picked up bass at the beginning of lockdown. Never played an instrument in my life, so I thought, fuck it, let's give it a go. Wow. I didn't realise I don't have the patience for it.
Don't ask if you're still on it, but that sort of answers the
question. No, I'm still going for it, mate. It's just the frustration that follows with it. I thought I was really patient when it comes to things like that, but when it comes to learning something new, it turns out I'm such an old man, I spit me dummy out. It's quite ugly. I saw as well, you know, on your merch that you've got going on, who was the guy who came up with the bolt thrower rip?
Ah, that's a great story, huh?
Go on, let's hear about that.
Right, it's a bit of a more close to home kind of idea of that. Basically, bolt thrower from Coventry. So kind of paying homage to pretty much one of the greatest death metal bands to come out of the UK scene in the 90s.
Very much.
But
so.
Even funnier, our drummer Luke, his dad played guitar in bolt thrower. So,
no way!
That's sick. So,
that's
insane. That's
kind of a thing.
The close to home sort of spec, yeah.
If you look on the bottom of on the shirt design, it says CVHC Legacy, so it's kind of like a little hint there as well.
Yeah, man, carrying the torch sort of thing. That's sick. No way.
Despite the fact that I think, other than Luke's dad, probably the rest of them don't know we exist, you know. But whatever.
We know you exist, that's what matters.
I think I put that together in the back of the car when we were on the way to a show. And we were all arguing over it, going, it's not good enough, it's not good enough. And then we went, okay, that'll do.
We'll throw it out. it's a sick rip. And there you go, it comes with a nice little story that follows with it. That's well good.
Yeah.
Seen you played quite a few, considering like you've only been going for is it just shy of 2 years really now, isn't it?
It's about a year and a half.
We like came together December 2018 and we started playing shows late March of last year.
Yeah. And I've seen I've been watching loads of the sets on YouTube, and anyway, my problem is I'm not fucking active enough. I don't like and share shit, which is my problem. But I've seen loads of sets, so I sit there and I watch them all. You always get you got a real good reception at the Cauldron EP release show. That was a sick one to watch.
Oh yeah,
was that a good show to be a part of?
I think that's one of the best shows we've played so far.
Think that was the best.
Obviously we knew we kind of went into it, we were opening the show, and normally we're like, if we're opening, is it going to be all right, is there people going to be there? But literally going into that show, we knew people would turn up anyway, because it's Cauldron's EP release show, and people, the reception on that EP was absolutely insane. We knew people were going to pack out the venue.
And the rest of the lineup was crazy as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Who else was on it? Was it Phase 2 was on there as well?
Phase 2.
Intent to Kill did a secret set from Sheffield. And Climate of Fear.
Okay.
It was sick.
But
yeah, and also with the added fact, it's in Birmingham, so it's in home turf for Cauldron, and it was free, so people were going to come.
Audience, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. It's turn up, mate, and just have a fucking good time. It's not often you get shows like that as well, so that's just a massive thing that you need to appreciate. If you can't take advantage of that, then come on, play the game. You know what I mean?
For sure. It's quite good that was one of the last shows that we played before the lockdown happened, so it's when you think back, I miss shows, so you're like, yeah. fucking insane.
They, honestly, great. Like I say, I was looking up and down at like sets and stuff. Like you played London as well, didn't you? I know you're booked on for another show, aren't you? UK Hardcore Returns, which I saw, which is fucking, that's sick to be on that bill, like straight away. Man. Like one of the first bands being announced. That was really good to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's after this long, it's obviously just going to be a crazy one, isn't it?
Well, I think people are going to go extra ham
as well. Yeah, bodies everywhere.
Oh yeah, it's going to be ruthless. Like I think just to be able to fucking hear heavy music again and just swing your limbs at someone, like someone's got to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Good to be back in the atmosphere of it all again. I'm looking forward to that. There's some other bands on there that are ridiculously heavy to be playing with as well. That's sick. Like you got the likes of Revulsion as well that you're going to be playing with, aren't you?
Not necessarily
heavy band.
And that's the perfect way of putting it. They are just unfathomably heavy.
Yeah, it's like someone's just carrying around a consistent sledgehammer and they're just ready. It's just like as soon as like the first note kicks off, it just slams into the ground. And, like, that's it. That's like listening to Revulsion for me. It's just ultimate.
ridiculously
heavy and like just proper, like with like Andy's vocals as well, it's like proper raw,
like raw heavy. Visceral, isn't it? Like you're taken somewhere else. Like
he's even brought that on the new band that he's been doing with some of the guys from like Revolve, with Despise out of Glasgow as well.
Yeah,
they're proper sick as well.
Well, that's sick. That was Despised. That was like spelled with a Z, wasn't it? If memory serves, is that the one that they were putting out? Yeah,
they just did a demo like a month ago. Obviously, it's those guys, and it's crazy, isn't it?
I tell you what, anything that comes out of Scotland is just fucking unnecessarily hard, isn't it? I don't think there's any like anything that comes out of Scotland that's soft. I don't think there is.
No.
I can't think of anything. They don't know soft. All they know is just they come out knuckle swinging, but like fair play to them, they do it right.
It's what you know.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, with you lot, we're like, obviously recording soon, then is it going to be like a new EP that you're going to be putting out, or what are we talking?
We're not sure. I think we just want to see how productive we can be, and in the main thing is just getting something out before the end of the year.
Yeah, of course. Just
keeping
up with the Joneses sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, like you say, it's like you've still got that solidified position on the UK Hardcore Returns sort of host of there, so that's always going to be something good to be looking into. And have you seen the UK Hardcore pages? You've probably seen like a few promoters, like they're in the process of sort of building stuff up for next year.
We're looking at a few things for next year. Obviously, nothing's solid at all. But,
no, of course. But you're still, putting the eggs in the baskets and that, getting your name out.
Exactly. It gets to the point where you just have to look at it or it just won't happen. And I think that's the stage where people are getting to now. It's like, okay, well, we might as well start trying to book stuff or organise stuff. Or, we'll just be sitting around twiddling thumbs for the rest of the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's just you've got to start positively planning for it, and even if it starts to fail, at least you've got some sort of order in place to start being able to like throw things out there. So
exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think everybody knows that as well. So if anything does get pulled, nobody's pissed off or disappointed or whatever. It's just
you know what you're going to be expecting. It's like it's the sad reality, but hopefully, fingers crossed, boys, everything will be up and running again soon, and we'll all be running on each other's heads and buying each other's merch and whatnot.
that's the
ultimate plan, personally.
That is the plan.
I'm assuming, were you boys like planning to go to any like festivals or anything this year? Do you have anything planned for that?
Yeah, mate. I was planning to go to Outbreak this year.
I was down for that.
Was absolutely stacked.
Unnecessary again.
Jamie couldn't do it. We had loads of shows were planned for the year. There's like unannounced stuff as well. I had a holiday plan as well. I was supposed to be going to Barcelona for a week and that fell through as well. But it is what it is, and hopefully everything will be back up and running as soon as it's safe to do so.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, that's just the, as we say, it's just getting it all back up on board. And in terms of the shows, obviously you had that that it was just shy of a week's long tour, as we said before. And there was one show in Bradford, I think it was, the Showcase Fest that you guys were going to be playing. I was going to be going to that one because I've yet to see you, unfortunately. But I was going to be going to that show because I've got a couple of mates who are going there as well, bands like Overpower and stuff like that. It's just going to be like a big meetup of all friends who I've not seen in months. So like, whoa, it's now going to be another couple of months. So I'm hoping that loads of things get reorganized.
That one was a bit of a mates fest for everyone.
I love when one or two of those get thrown up every once in a while, and it's just like,
absolutely.
Mates, just
they're normally northern shows as well. I don't know why.
Do you know what? They really are. It'll always be like Leeds, Manchester, or Sheffield, or somewhere like that.
Yeah,
it's northern promoters. They can't put on a show with four bands. They're just incapable of doing it. They go,
not possible.
Well, you know, it's a Saturday, so fuck it. Let's
make it an all day. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you spent a weekend eating shit food and washing.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's the northern hardcore scene for you in a nutshell.
You're sure?
I think
the guys that were putting that show on seemed mega keen on just doing the same thing with like the same lineup as soon as. So
yeah,
that's the good thing about everyone organising these is there's already this pre-existing hype for what we've wanted to go to. And now as soon as you get that green light, we know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Or better, if anything, because
it's like the preemptive, like you've had months now to plan for this, but like, you know, when people like, say go back 2 years ago and you've got like, right, you've got 6 months to plan to go to the show, and people are like, yeah. Now that you're being forced inside your house and you have to look at the show, it's like, right, you have no excuse to not be able to go to this once lockdown ends now.
Attendances
have to go through the roof. That's the promise. That's the hope, isn't it?
It is. I think even if there's four people there, even if my guitar's made of marshmallows and Dane farts into a microphone for 20 minutes, people are still going mad. So
yeah,
it's what it is, isn't it?
Is yeah.
Like, we can play in a teapot by this point. We'd enjoy it.
Yeah, we played a show in Leeds late last year, like October time. Is it like Iger Studios or whatever? In like this tiny practice room, and it was like an absolute sweatbox, just people moshing, people just having a good time, but like literally you could have 15 people in that room and it looks like absolutely packed.
I know which room you're on about. Insane. Was that Smales Fest? I want to say it was Smales. I don't want to pronounce John's name wrong, bless him. We'll call it Smales. he's a sound geezer. I think was it the left hand or right hand side practice room?
Was the right hand side one, I think,
because I'm pretty sure that's actually the smaller one compared to the left one, but you're right. But Shed Fest and stuff was held there as well. It had like fucking, I remember seeing there was some band that was in there, and it was a ridiculously hard beat down band from across the way. They're a European one, and I remember seeing them in there. Or do you know what? I didn't actually see the band themselves. I was actually like pushed outside of the room. You just hear these filthy slams and then bodies just hit the wall and then fly at each other again. And it was like,
definitely the same room because it's the exact same situation.
Well, there was a recording, wasn't there, of the bands all playing in there, and you just see people just, everyone there seemed pretty small, so it was all right. But if anyone was like above 6 foot and one of them kicked, well, that'd have been it. You'd be booted out.
It was all good until Stevie Gamble.
Stevie Gamble,
the huge guy.
Steve Gamble.
It was all fun and games until Stevie turned up, and then everyone else is 4 foot tall, and that guy's a giant. So it just got painful.
Yeah, he does mosh him. He can throw a dig. He can throw a dig if he wants.
That is one way of putting it.
He's do you know what? He's pretty funny, you know.
Yeah, Steve Gamble's jokes.
Those guys are great, aren't they, to be fair? I think he was involved with putting that one together The shows those guys put together are always just sick.
Bradford Showcase guys, great. Eden.
Is it Eden? I thought it was Eden.
They're all for the core,
yeah,
and they're great guys.
which is the message you guys are pushing for as well for the core, isn't it? Fucking
yeah.
All this death to false metalcore shit that's going on at the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We love it. It's great. It's like, it's just, there's a lot, especially in hardcore at the moment, there's a lot of people coming in, coming out. I think kind of just got the wrong edge of what hardcore's about. There's a lot of new kids. I haven't been around for long. I've only been around for like a good 3 years, but there's a lot of kids which come in and just think like hardcore is like some cool, trendy,
yeah,
and like, oh, it's the next cool thing, and then go around claiming they're about something when they're not.
Just jumping on it for the, it's sort of like a trend sort of thing. It's like, yeah, I'll just jump onto that. So that seems like something fun to do for the time being. It's like, there's some people out there, aren't, they want it to be a consistent thing that goes on for a long, long time, and they, you know, you're putting the time and effort into it. So it's good to see. I think it's all about effort, really, hardcore, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you either want to do it or you don't. It's all down to you, really.
Yeah, it's just about giving back as well, isn't it? Like you said, with the, you know, doing the podcast and the interviews because you're not actively playing or something. That's exactly what hardcore's about for me.
Of course. Yeah, and like I say, this is all about just making sure that, like, I just want to make sure, mate, right, that if I can get a couple more people listening to like the music that we're listening to, and just like adorn a bit more of the sort of mindset it gives you, like, you, it's just going to lead to better things for yourself. I know it sounds dead cheesy and cliche when people say it like that consistently over and over, but it's the truth behind it.
Yeah,
like, it's not just for the fun of it. Well, obviously there is sides of it that are fun, but
I mean, hardcore is dead cliche and cheesy by this point, but we all still love it, though.
Yeah, do you know what? You're not wrong.
That's going to get me shot saying that, but there we go.
Mate, to be fair, there's far worse things happening in the world right now, so I'm sure they'll have to.
Very true. Very true.
Fucking hell. Yeah, there's been some crazy shit happening with, well, not just UK hardcore, but just in the world in general. I mean, I'm assuming you lot have been catching up with what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
To be fair, I guess that kind of ties back into you were saying about people staying busy or whatever. The amount of people that were raising money for, like, Black Lives Matter and, you know,
that was one thing,
associated charities there, you know, and stuff, was incredible, wasn't it?
You guys got involved in that, I saw.
Yeah.
It was it a top that, were you part of a, was it a t-shirt or a music compilation, was it?
It was both, organised by a guy called Oscar that runs Seven Stitches merch. They do old band merch, basically. And Josh, who runs NFR, Nuclear Family. Cold War.
Yeah, I know about Nuclear Family. I've placed in so many orders from them now. I'm pretty sure Josh must have my email address on lockdown, and just like start sending me shit soon, just for free. If he wants to do that, the plug's here. The plug's here.
I have a word, but I'm not promising anything.
Mate, I don't need promises. Just as long as I put my word out, that's all I need. Word is bond.
One was really good. I think there was, I think it was just shy of $2,000.
Yeah,
and it got split down the middle between. I did remember this? It got split down the middle between. It was the UK Black Lives Matter charity.
That was that one.
Some Minnesota fund.
It was Act Blue in Minnesota.
That was
the other one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and you, as you say, yeah, you raised it was just shy of $2,000, wasn't it? So it was a hefty whack.
That's massive. Yeah.
And it was like before. $1,000 to each charity. Which is wicked.
Yeah, exactly. That again is doing what you can to give back to the people who need us right now. That was a ridiculously passionate thing that was doing.
It's not even just that, is it? There was that, and then there was the, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 other bands in the UK all just,
everyone bonded together. Sales,
donating from music, donating from whatever else.
Yeah. Like, before the show, we did, like, we, for about just over 2 weeks, we put any tape sales, any merch sales onto our, on our big cartel, and, like, 100% of the proceeds to go to charity, and then we did that shirt as well.
So again, big moves again from everyone there. So that's so good. It's just it's what you want to see from the community, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, actually helping each other out. And and one of your songs you actually promote about it, isn't it? The solidarity, the whole solidarity behind it, all fucking standing together and fucking uniting. So that's exactly what we wanted to see from everyone. And as you say, you got chips in, you got involved. That's what it's all about. Yeah, there's so much going on.
You've got to when you're in the. When you're in the position that you can, you have to, don't you?
Of course. Like, if you truly give a shit, if you truly want to help, then you will. It's, and it's not always about money, is it, as well? Like, there's other ways that you can help, like, promote and make sure people are more aware of the shit that's going on, which is
Exactly. Yeah,
fucking scary times that are happening. It's just, mate, it's just all America, man. Like, why is America doing all this shit? Fucking
so much.
Do you know what though? It's got me a bit nervous now because I was speaking to a couple of mates about this. Like, you know, all the Hollywood films and stuff that people were watching, and they were fucking, we all sit there and fucking glow off. Now it's like, I'm looking at some of the actors now going, which one of these is diddling? Which one am I allowed to watch and which one am I not allowed to watch?
Yeah. Well, it changes every week, doesn't it? So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think you've got to take it as it comes by this
point. Yeah.
I'm afraid to have favourite actors now. It's getting to that stage.
I know what you mean. Every morning you wake up and think, don't let it be Tom Hanks, don't let it be Tom Hanks. But one
and
day,
then the list's more and more ticking against his name, and you're like,
Did you see Tom Hanks disabled all of his comments on Instagram because people keep commenting like paedophile on his Instagram?
So he's had to disable it now because he's getting too much abuse from it?
Yeah.
It's mental. Jesus. All the things I thought we'd talk about, this wasn't on my list.
Oh, do you know what, mate? I don't know. I kind of spiraled there, didn't I? I was.
should we gloss over?
Yeah, we'll pretend it never happened, right? You want.
Embrace it.
Let's get the list up. It's a topic, like, you know, that is very. Big in the world today, and it's a very messed up situation, and obviously it kind of links in with like hardcore as well, like, especially with this, like, there's no place for stuff like this in like hardcore or in society in general, and people should be coming out and speaking out on sexual predators and paedophiles as they are, because they have no place in society, well, from my moral standpoint, as it is.
Moral standpoint, but yeah, fucking highly so, mate. You know, it's not something that should be accepted, and you should never defend someone if they're fucking part of it. Like, that's one thing, you know, when you see with like the people who have been outed and stuff, and they try and defend them, and it's like,
yeah,
come on.
Why?
Yeah. At what point do you think that was a good idea? Like, even if it's someone you've been best mates with for 10 years and they've been doing something like that, I'm sorry, but you sever the ties straight away. That's fucked.
For real, yeah.
That's,
I think from an outsider's point of view, it must look like we have like a really deep issue of people being, you know, abusers or something. But I think it's more that it just comes out more because of how tight the community is.
You know? How quickly I have to shut it down, yeah.
More exactly. People are more woke on it, like, because of how...
I can't believe you just said woke.
Not just saying as in like woke, but as in like...
Are you going to go and play Minecraft after this?
Maybe.
Fucking child.
I think it's just like, it's what Alec is saying, it's completely true. Like, people in hardcore have rooted within ethics and the scene of... a higher like kind of like standpoint on morality and what's right and wrong. Like, it's a shame, like, some people outside the hardcore and just in normal day-to-day life will see something like that and just brush it into the carpet,
out of sight, out of mind sort of deal.
But a lot of people here, which is good, stand up for the right thing and say, look, this person's doing this, they have no place in our scene, and yeah, exactly. That's the right thing to do.
Of course, shunting it out straight away, which is, it's like, as you said before, because we're such a quick, like, community to be like, oi, that's fucking bad, you need to sort it out. It does get brought up to light straight away, and then obviously, you know, especially with the social media side of it, it always gets shared straight away as well, so loads more people see it, it'll branch out further past us, you know, bigger than us. And then, you know, eventually it will get sorted, which, you know, we're quick to get that done. That's always a bonus of ours, of our community. I think if someone's going through some shit and it does get said to someone, I think the right person just gets fucking right involved, gets it sorted, done and dusted straight away. Yeah. I don't think you see as many.
It's sort of semi-related, but I guess sort of a lot more positive. Did you see on the UK Hardcore Facebook group the other day, there's a guy that I don't know, I can't remember his name, literally posted something like, I'm fed up of this lockdown. I hope you're all doing okay. Let me know if not. Let's all just be positive together or something. And it is that. It's the same sort of everyone tied in, isn't it? But
yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot nicer to concentrate on these sort of things and just say, you know,
Together. Yeah, it's one of those. You got a couple of options. You can either all sit there and scream about the same situation being bad, or you could come together and come to a solution and get something sorted out of it.
Yeah.
And I guess actually, to be fair, we sort of do both, don't we?
it's one of those. I think if you're in the position where you can, I love a good rant. I love a good rant and ramble. If something's pissed me off, it's like, listen, boys, like, I need to get this out. And sometimes you do, but other times I'll just sit there and be like, what the fuck am I complaining about? Like, I have nothing that bad going on for me.
Absolutely.
You get two in your own head. It happens, especially being locked up for so long. And you're seeing at the same four walls. You start getting yourself in a bit of a spin. I know lockdown's not been the best for a lot of people's mental health, but certainly you've got, as long as you've got like the right support structure and system around you, it's fucking, you're able to pull each other through, which is, I've got fucking tons of friends that I could shout out and be fucking throwing all the praise out to, because got some like a good support system, so it's just
I think by this point we all have,
yeah, and it's a forever eternal shout out to them guys. Thank you very much. It's just one of those. How have you been keeping busy through lockdown? I know you've been like, obviously, like as you say, like writing like music and stuff, but I mean, like, have you two been having a work store, like been furloughed? I ended up getting furloughed at one point.
I've been furloughed the whole time, so I decided to write a zine. Which I'm going to shout out now. It's called Mentally Vexed. You should buy it.
Mentally Vexed?
That's just to anybody. Mentally Vexed,
We'll put that on the podcast links. Yeah. We'll get that all shared out.
Sort of evolved into a distro, and that sort of evolved into a label. So over the last 6 weeks, I've become the busiest I've ever been in my life. Not being off work, you know.
That's awesome. So what's happening for Mentally Vexed there, then? What's going on with that?
We've just dropped so it started off just me doing it for literally for something to do.
Yeah.
And then my friend Jack, who also plays guitar now in Mantlet, he's our second guitarist. We've literally just added him sort of as lockdown.
You've just gone up to a 5-piece now, haven't you?
Exactly, yeah. Each other for a while, and he sort of dipped in. And then another friend, Mason, who runs Death Clock Records, and he does a bit of promoting in Birmingham stuff as well.
He runs Danger Close Records. It's very similar. Cine Dowdall in Wales runs Death Clock Records.
It's DCR, isn't it?
DCR, same abbreviation.
DCR. So Mason from Danger Close is now doing it as well. So we bought a load of records and started a distro, and then my other band's Depressed.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
They wanted to put their old demo out, and we thought, fuck it, let's just do this on some tapes.
Yeah,
it was sort of one of them where one thing led to another, and now I'm like, shit, I don't have enough hours in the day for this.
Too much has come too fast, now you're trying to balance it.
And then, so today I just had a work call as well, saying, oh yeah, we're going to start working.
You choose now, are you mad? Exactly. Completely head off. Well, there you go, Mentally Vexed. We'll make sure, as I say, we'll get that plugged. I'm going to check it out in a bit as well myself once I've got a bit of free time later on.
Cheers.
Fucking, I'm an avid like vinyl and like tape collector, so I'll have to check out Suppress as well.
I'm definitely a vinyl guy over a tape guy, to be fair. I don't know why, I can't tell you why, but
Do you know what I found with vinyl, and it really winds me up now, is that 7 inches really annoy me, because I don't know if it's just my record player or what, but it'll get to like the last sort of say maybe 8-7 seconds of a song, and it'll just start. It'll fuck off. It just won't play it. So obviously with our music, the last sort of 15-20 seconds is your mosh fucking part where you headbutt through your wall, and it'll just stop halfway through. And I'm like, you're mad. So yeah, 7-inch.
90% of hardcore is EPs on 7-inch.
It really is. I still buy them every time.
I also have an issue with them, but it's not that. My issue is that you only get 2 songs before you have to get up
and change the
fucking record. I'm too lazy for that, man.
Yeah, I'm
too lazy for that.
I can very much vouch for that myself. That's
At least I don't have to rewind it when I'm done with it, you know?
Yeah,
so,
with the tapes, that's the fucking... It's a wind-up. I happily promote tapes, but... just be wary, they come with a lot of fucking damage. You've got to do a lot of shit with them.
Except for them suppressed ones. They're like self-flipping, self-rewinding and everything.
Pay your mortgage, cut your tea, do the work.
Exactly, mate. Exactly. They're perfect, they're tight. You should get them.
What about yourself there, Dane? How have you been keeping busy during lockdown, man?
I've been all right. I'm at university, so... at the start of lockdown I was just doing uni work and then submitted all that off, got my results back, and then going into second year in September.
What is it you're studying there, man?
I'm doing media and communications at Birmingham City University, and then second year I'm doing the same but more music industries based stuff, as well as just some bits and bobs.
Just getting yourself involved in sort of shit like music wise. That's sick though. It's obviously a passion of yours. So
yeah.
Get yourself buried in deep and it won't even become a job. That's what they say, innit, boys. What is it? If you find something you love, you never work a day in your life.
Supposedly.
Yeah, sort of. I've yet to find it. But yeah, we're still young. We're still young. I don't know what I'm complaining about. See, I've started complaining again already. It's only taken me 5 minutes.
I was going to say, you've got a solid 4 or 5 minutes of positivity. Yeah. So,
well, yeah, it's
all good.
It's all balanced, isn't it? It's all balanced. Get 5 minutes out of good stuff and then 5 minutes of rambling. That's I'm 24 going on 49, boys. I'm a proper old man. I can feel it in my bones now. It's getting ridiculous.
Are you Carl Pilkington from An Idiot Abroad?
And you know what? I could probably pass off as that. In the long run.
I've got the haircut.
Yeah. Right. You've got the haircut. I've got the attitude. I think if you compared us, do a bit of a face swap and that, I think we've got it sorted.
Well, Dane's got a tiny head as well, so between the three of us we're laughing, I think.
I think Dane took offence to that. He's gone.
He's fucked up.
He's gone.
Dane, I'm sorry, your head's a normal size, bro.
You've upset him now, you've
That's
hurt
not
him.
Bringing
you've
it hurt back.
We thought the joke had threw you away.
I'm back. Oh no, I'm in my
oh, is that a bit of a moment? I thought that's a better outcome of the situation. We thought we'd fucked you off. We thought that's it, he's had enough.
What happened? What was
I'm going to repeat it now. That's
a Mac Daddy.
Yeah, you have to refer to old Mac.
You know how I like to talk about your tiny head? The one on the top of your neck?
My head's massive.
Well, sometimes it's massive and sometimes it's fucking tiny. Sometimes you send me selfies and your neck looks like a giraffe's.
Like this. Right,
It's like 2 foot long. It's like someone's grabbed your hair and just pulled. It fucking makes me laugh, man.
A girthy neck.
Yeah, funny, isn't it?
You're a funny guy.
He's
running away with it. He's running away.
Can you talk about how talk about Fractured? You obviously were just talking about media.
Fractured, yeah. Basically, besides Mandat, I wanted to get more involved with hardcore and be more involved with the scene. Before Mandat, when I started going to shows, I started going to shows when I was like 15, 16, when I could get in. I would like travel all the way from Coventry to Birmingham.
There was a chance that you couldn't get in.
80% that I wouldn't get in, but I'd do it anyway.
Fuck it.
And then then after starting doing shows, starting Mantlet, and then I wanted to be more involved with the scene. I started filming shows with just like a dad's old camcorder, basically in the old like kind of paying homage to these old video fanzines called Guerrilla Warfare, which documented the New Jersey and New York hardcore scene from 2001 to 2003. It's like four editions. You can find them on YouTube. And they're really good. They're like featured bands such as like Billy Club Sandwich, Everybody Gets Hurt, Shattered Realm, etc.
The OGs, basically. Well, I say the OGs, yeah. Like the mid OGs we'll go with. Yeah, the Mosh OGs, yeah. We'll go with that. Yeah, yeah.
really good. And then I started filming them just for personal, like, just to put on like my Instagram or whatever. And then over time, me and my girlfriend, Curtis Idar, when she started, she bought the same model camcorder and started filming them as well. And she came up with the idea of we should start making like our own little thing, like it might get some more traction. And then we were like, yeah, sure. Started putting everything on there, started filming more shows. We had two different angles now. So
and that's,
more
that's called
in.
Fractured TV, isn't it? Is that? I thought before then, one of the videos. So yeah. So that's you guys.
Yeah. It went really well. Like me and Rosie just started filming loads of more shows. We then got to film Not Loose with Malevolence in Berlin.
I remember that tour. Yeah,
which was really cool. And then we also did probably our best part so far is we did the most recent Cold Our Truth music video for Murder Capital, which was really sick. So that was like footage that me and Rosie have shot, as well as just other footage from the other recent shows that Sam from Cold Our Truth sent to me, and then I edited that together, and that was it came out really well. I got some.
I remember seeing that video as well, and I didn't even realize that was you who'd done it. So that's sick. So that was the Cold Hard Truth Murder Capital video. That's sick. I was like, you know what? When it first came out, I remember watching it. I was thinking, that's fucking well good. And I didn't even know you'd done it. Do you know what? I said, Matt, I said to you before, I was like, yeah, I've done some research here. I have not done enough. I need to come back. And I'm going to leave. I'm going to come back with all this actually written down. No, that's it, though. So we've got, obviously, Mentally Vexed there. We've got Fractured TV. So again, this is little things that people are doing that are going to fucking be something and giving back, as well as already doing Mantlet. Fucking hell.
Dane, obviously, Dane just did the Cold Hard Truth video again, just not long before the lockdown started. So it's just one more thing that, you know,
that was December. Yeah,
all things, as you say, it's just all happened just before lockdowns kicked in. And like, if all this hadn't have happened, it's really fucking frustrating because, like, where would we be then if it hadn't have all kicked off?
Yeah,
fucking hell. Could be rich by now.
You could be rich. In a mansion, you know, fucking, we'll just be filming all the shows at your mansion, you know, fucking hell. Can you imagine the admission fees, putting all that through? That would be sick.
I'd be laughing.
You actually would be.
I'd have a fucking yacht.
You'd be able to get, yacht shows around the world. Can you imagine taking that through?
Funnily enough, we've got mates in Cruelty who are from Birmingham that played, and they went on a Euro run with Realm of Torment last year.
I can't remember
what the location was, but they played on a boat somewhere. I'm sure it was like France or something.
Yeah, I think they said it was in the Netherlands or something. And like, it was like shaking when they were like
playing. So people were running side to side. It was literally like, yeah,
like, proper like Nick. Oh, mate, could you imagine the danger though?
I quite like a boat, but you know,
not
if you didn't,
moshing on it. Not all of those people too stepping really on it. That's a different boat.
Just, I think as long as you think of it as like a challenge, you'd be all right, wouldn't it?
Yeah, take it as an head-on challenge.
Survive
exactly.
Yeah. Just survive people's punches, elbows, kicks, and not to drown. Yeah.
That would be jokes. Yeah.
I couldn't imagine that though. I'll have to find out where that is. I'll have to. You say it's recognized in Holland.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The Netherlands now, isn't it?
I can't remember.
I don't know if there's any footage of it, but yeah, they did that on their Euro last year.
Yeah, I think it was last summer.
Last summer.
I can't remember where it is, but they said it's something that's there as a venue all the time. It wasn't like a one-off thing, as far as I know. So,
So like probably loads.
Be wicked to find some like footage, you know?
Yeah, do you know what? I'd love to see it. I reckon some bands have probably had like bets, you know, before they've played, just to see how fucking far they could rock it just before they could, like, you know, you got security like marching in, like, lads, you need to calm it down. Yeah, this is too much.
Drum kits flying to the right.
Just the last China slap, and then watching the drum kit fly to the other side of the room, and people just punching the shit out of each other to survive.
It'd be like Titanic, except instead of the like orchestra, they screaming and like slams.
Ding!
Players out,
and then everyone going off. That's it. That's all you hear. It's just the symbol of doom.
Speaking of music, then, your writing process, is it like you're always writing, or is it like breaks in between from what you're doing? How do you approach it?
It's normally I'll do some riffs at home as and when they come to me, I suppose, and then pretty much we do it all together after that.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to write when there's a drummer there, you know. It's sort of, you don't have to go backwards and forwards, it just all comes out at once.
Yeah.
More,
I don't think we've ever worked.
Yeah,
exactly. I think there's tweaks like right up until you record, but I don't think we've ever really properly worked on a single song for more than one or two sessions.
It's just sort of naturally gelled. And I mean, fucking hell, it sounds fluid anyway. Jeez, I mean,
I think if you have to push it, then it's just shit and it's just not fun.
Yeah, you think much, isn't it? It's not organic. You're trying too hard to create something that's just not there. Just let it flow, man.
if it's,
I don't think we've ever struggled with writing a song. Like, we've never been like, oh my God, we need to change this, and this, when like we've just started writing it. Maybe down the line we have some tweaks, but literally it's all been quite fluid. And like, when writing lyrics, I write a load of stuff before, see if I can fill it in or not. I write stuff there and then fill it in as it goes, like next session, after like recording it here.
I think you've quite often got like a list of sort of half finished songs to pick and choose from, haven't you?
Yeah.
Which I think works quite well.
Yeah.
Just having like that bank.
Having those topics ready to go, straight off the bat.
Yeah.
Makes it
easier. But yeah, it's fun. It's always fun if you do it like that, I think.
Keep it fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the reason you started.
That's exactly it. I mean, recording is the least fun thing in the world, so the writing leading up to it, you know, has to be a little bit entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
Is that just you personally, or does everyone feel like that in the band?
When we went up to Manchester to Six Studios, we did 2 days, and the first day I didn't record any vocals, so I was just sitting there for hours just doing
you can all sleep with your eyes open for half of it.
Yeah, I do that sometimes.
I have a natural gift where I can fall asleep anywhere if I'm comfortable enough. So is it one of those situations where you just...
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, it's one of those. I could just fall asleep anywhere.
Loads of my friends hate it. Just fall asleep on a park bench. It's fucked. I could just sleep anywhere.
I could do that.
That's weird. So, I can't do that.
If you just get me comfortable enough. I'm glad someone else has the same thing as me there.
I could do that anywhere. I've had a sleep on the park bench before. Like, literally, just with loads of people around me, like loads of strangers.
If I'm warm enough, if I'm comfortable enough, like, fuck you all, I'm going. I'm having a nap. Go and do what you want. I'm off.
If I could do it, I would. When you need a nappy nap, you need a nappy nap, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I've come to terms with that. If my body starts throwing a bit of a wobbler, I'm like, right, come on, have a nap, take yourself away, everything will be all right. Sleep it off, kid, you'll be sound. Okay, no.
I think the thing about the studio is, like, even if you like the songs before, by the time you've played 40 times,
yeah,
I mean, four or obviously now five of you, you fucking can't stand them no more.
Yeah.
That's Alex's problem. That's his big problem. As soon as he comes out of the studio, first thing he says in the car, I need to play them
songs. I never want to play them again.
I get that.
Yeah, to start writing straight away because you need something fresh to play. Like
that is literally, you know, when you see bands who pump out like fucking album after album after album, it's because they're doing the exact same thing that you just said, yeah, there, where they've just played it and gone, fuck it off. I don't want to hear it again now.
It's a necessity for their own, like, you know, self okayness.
Yeah. We don't write music to make money, or because we make no money. We write for hardcore, and we write for people to mosh to and have a good time to, for hardcore and hardcore only, not just for clout, which a lot of people in, I'm gonna say this in quotations, hardcore are doing,
writing for heavy for heavy's sake, or writing for hard for hard's sake.
Exactly.
There's a difference between hard and heavy, which I didn't realise at first, but there actually is such a difference between hard and heavy. You've got beat down,
yeah,
or you've got fucking, like, proper like, good metalcore. There's some good...
Yeah. It's like, yeah. It's like, beat down for me is thrown into, like, this whole cliché kind of thing. It's like there's when some if you see someone post, say, oh look at this new beatdown band, check it out, you listen to it, it's not beatdown, it's just slap. or deathcore, it's disguised into what is called beatdown, when you've got actual UK beatdown bands like Cold R-Truth and Bundermount,
the real deals,
which and then you got like some new god knows what's coming out of whatever, and it's just some slam down tempo deathcore band which they have a beat down just because they play a breakdown at the end of the song for 30 seconds.
One note.
Four t-shirts and one track on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Not for me.
It's just not for me. They're going for the business side of it there. That's all it is. Yeah. It's a business as opposed to music. Which,
for real,
which is what we don't want. We want more people to just produce good fucking music, put it out, let's enjoy ourselves, have a fucking couple of shows, fucking hell,
and then write something else because I hate what I've just
done. Rinse repeat until we can't play no more. it's the dream.
Rinse repeat.
That's why I picked up bass.
It's like when we first started, we had Alec wrote this riff and we wrote this song and we never recorded it, but I really liked it, but Alec was like, no, we're not playing it ever again, I don't want to play it.
That was the most productive I've ever been, purely because I had to write enough songs that we could, like, bump it out of the set. Like, okay, in my mind, yeah, I was like, I need to write five songs so that we now have six songs and we can only play five in the set so we can fuck that one off. Right, got some new songs then, boys.
Yeah. That's literally what happens. We slowly cut off. So we're rearranging our set list at the moment. And, like, at the moment, like, we're obviously playing the two new songs off the split EP. Only one track off the demo, and that's, like, at a push. That's at a push. We, like, I even said to Alec only wants to play it because people like it and will mosh to it. And then we've, like, burned off, like, loads of songs off our Burning EP. We're only playing Burning.
It's got that fucking heavy part to it, which I love. kicks in again a little bit later in the song. I was listening to it the other day, actually, and I was just sat there, right? And I forgot it kicked in, and my head just started automatically nodding. And you know when you get a bit of an angry face on you and you go, whoa, where's that come from? I was like, ooh, there it is. Yeah, the stank face. That's the best way to describe it. It was there.
Yeah. We're writing new stuff, and, like, obviously, it's going to be sick. Like, I just can't wait to play some new stuff live, and just, well, I can't wait to play the stuff after the split when shows come back. Because I think that's some of our best stuff we've done yet. But I think it is the best stuff we've done yet. I feel like I just like how we like progress over time, and like I've like off the demo, like burning EP and the split, like even though it's a short amount of time, like I haven't like looked back and gone, oh, we've gone down at one point. I feel like we just keep going up.
Yeah, hopefully that continues. It's been proven. Like you can see it in the shows, like you know, the audience reaction, and you can see it certainly within sort of like merch. Like disappearing, I had a look on Nuclear Family, everything was sold out tape wise and stuff. So obviously, whatever you're writing, you're doing it right, and you're being recognised for the right reasons. So it's definitely going in the right direction for you. And I can only hope and pray that, you know, as it goes on, it's going to get even better for you.
Especially to be fair, they're in the park, guys. Right at pushing stuff as well. They're really good to work with.
Yeah, that's what you want at the end of the day. I was going to ask you as well.
Yeah, for sure.
In terms of like, obviously, like little shows and tours that you've gone on and stuff. Have you had like a specific best show? You said before was the best show was the. You said it before.
The Cauldron one.
That was the one. Cauldron one. Sorry. What would you say has been like another fun show that you played that you've was like a really good one? I'm sure you did like Upsurge Fest in London, didn't you?
Oh, we did. It was run by Upsurge. We only did the fest.
It was one
of their showcases.
That was it.
It was like just loads of new bands, just like, and that was really good.
We played a Ruction show, and was it like September or October?
And that was with Guilt Trip. That was good.
It was sick.
From what
I've always wanted, Ruction shows for like 10 years.
I was literally going to say, like Ruction shows, they always seem to have the best reception I think I've ever seen, like in terms of like UK stuff. But they've been going for so long now. They know exactly what they're doing. They're run by people who fucking know what's going on. So
yeah, exactly.
Right.
They've just got
100%.
They run it, didn't they?
They really have. Like it's that yeah. If you could have that sort of infrastructure running there, but across the UK. Like, I think, obviously, a lot more shit would get organised. I'd love to be able to fucking get my shit together as quick and as fast as they have and fucking do it up north. Do you know what I mean? That'd be the dream, just to be able to fucking sit there, get an email one day from someone and be like, listen, lad, you're putting this tour on and you're getting all these bands together for it. All right, cool. Give it in. Let's get it done.
Right.
Fucking
and up. Then 2 weeks later, it's an
Yeah.
without Ruction, UKC wouldn't be... No. UK hardcore.
It would not be as prominent as it is.
Those guys built the foundations of what UKHC is today.
To a degree, every band has stolen. Every band in the UK has stolen something from Knuckle Dust.
Whether they want to admit it or not.
Oh yeah, I mean, like I'll admit that I rip off Knuckle Dust. No problem. Or try
I reckon they sit there, you know, right, with a little tick list going, yep. Oh, no, they didn't. No, they didn't do that one, actually. No, they didn't. Yep, yeah, they got our part. I reckon they sit there and do it. Fair play to them. I wouldn't be surprised.
They're just the toughest, aren't they? Do you know what I mean?
That's what I love about, like, pretty much all the London bands. You feel like they're all a bunch of sound people, right, that you just don't want to get on the wrong end on one of them. Fatal swing right into your chops. That's it.
No chance.
I've been listening to like other podcasts and stuff. You know, like there's like a couple of others, like another the Essex ones, and you really like some of the stories of them lot from back in the day, like when they were running around the UK, you know, like in the early noughties. Move, Above All, and stuff like that.
Razor, man.
Exactly, mate, and fucking I'm so glad they made a comeback. That was worth waiting for. Fuck me.
Absolutely.
But yeah, like, you know, when you hear like little horror stories like that they've had like across the way, like I love hearing about stuff like that. I love hearing about the UK hardcore history, like from other people, you know, people who have been in there for so long and they've seen the shit. Like,
yeah.
I love little horror stories like that. Like, they make me happy. Have you had any horror stories as a band? Like, have you turned up to a venue and just been like, what the fuck is going on? Or anything like that? Or has everything been pretty smooth for you guys?
Second show.
Yeah, that's not really a horror story, is it?
It was just a nightmare. It's not a horror story, it was just our worst show. And never again. We played Leamington.
which is like a posh,
like Coventry, isn't it?
Posh town in the Midlands.
Yeah, it's just outside Coventry.
We played, it was like a mates release show. And they were good mates and they're still good mates, but we played first and it was early and there was no one there basically.
Oh, no.
So we played to our good mates and then we sort of left.
And then your amp head
blew up. Oh, yeah, and then my amp head blew up.
Decided to fuck off, did it?
Yeah, about halfway through, and then I punched it till it works again. I don't know. It must have looked really like, oh yeah, this guy really thinks he's fucking tough or something. What a loser! But really, I was just trying to fix my amp.
I just want you to hear my music, man. Listen.
Exactly. I just want you to hear me really badly play guitar.
And whether you like it or not, it's going to happen for the next 20 minutes. So deal with it.
Exactly. Exactly. Or at least, you know, I tried, but there we go. But no, other than that, it's all been good. I think I had another amp blow up at the Ruption show, but nobody even noticed. Or if they did, like, nobody gave a shit.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Basically, it was literally just bass for a lot of it. Like, even I could hear it. It was just, And but people still go.
I was trying to fix my amp, like, obviously on stage while everyone else was playing, because it was literally halfway through a song.
Yeah.
And occasionally I'd just turn around and people were just going mental, like nothing had happened. And I was thinking, fuck me, I could just leave. And
then no, like, no one would know. That's horrible. No.
Yeah. Anyway, I had a little cry.
It was fun, man. It was good. It's like, we haven't had horror stories. We've had like funny, awkward situations or like, just like, oh, this is funny or cool, whatever. Like, just like, you know where like, just like awkwardness, it's like, or like, we played Fall in the Brawl,
Manchester,
which was weird.
Wasn't it? In November last year.
It was weird because like we stuck out like a sore thumb on that lineup. It was just full of slam and deathcore down tempo bands, and then we come on. And I deliberately, I'll never state this, like when we come on stage, go, yo, we're Mantler from Coventry, whatever. I literally was like, we're Mantler, we're a hardcore band from Coventry. because just the rest of the bands were just like,
I looked at the lineup on that.
It was fun, man. Like Colton played it as well, and even then, I thought Colton stuck out like a sore from Cyril on that, but they always smash it.
To be fair, Colton are just better than us, so they went down better. That's all they
are a fucking phenomenal band. Like, I wasn't expecting that that new EP release that they did. Fucking, it got into near bloody Canada, look, didn't it? If it weren't for
I think it was with the Mortality Rate guys. They're sort of friends with them.
Yeah,
right?
They were playing Wild Rose Festival in Canada.
There was some big name bands on that, and
I think
Madball,
Neverending Game on there as well.
I think that whole thing got pulled, didn't it? It wasn't just Razor.
No, it was. Yeah, the whole thing went in the end. But I mean. That again, when people see UK hardcore and they're flying over to the States, like every time, I think everyone gets like a little bit of a happy heart going like, yes, boys, like, we fucking going over there, we're gonna take over. Like, I get really fucking buzzing when I see UK hardcore going over to America. Like, I have done over the past like couple of years.
Even Europe, like, they got announced for that Revelations Festival, Archangel.
Big names.
Those guys love Archangel as well, so that must have been like
a dream come true. That'd have been it. They could have broken up after that. But lads, we've done it now, and we're not releasing anything else.
Yeah,
you played with some pretty big name bands, though, haven't you?
We played with Sworn Enemy.
You did a couple of dates for those.
Yeah, we did the two dates they did in the UK when they came over last year, and that was so sick. Like, we were literally, it was like July, August, it was August. So we were literally only a band for under 6 months, and we're already playing. We played the two dates Sworn Enemy did in the UK. London wrestling.
Yeah, I remember I was looking at, as I say, I was looking at all like the little, like all the tours and stuff that you've done, like looking at all the posters and stuff. And like, as I say, I saw that with Sworn Enemy, and I was like, yo, like, I didn't know that you guys got to play with them. So it's little things like that, you know, sharing stages, bands like that.
That was super fun. It was like, I don't know about you, Dane, but for me, that was like the first time I played with like a, I guess the word is like professional band. So just seeing how they sort of
carry themselves.
Quickly they could like get set up and stuff and, you know, not, okay, we know how to do this without fucking about for half an hour first. It was...
I feel like every, in like with hardcore, it's like, you know, I feel like every band like tries to be professional, but like, it's like when you play with a band like that, which have been going on for God knows how long, which are literally coming over from America, they're going to have like that sort of like, and they're, you know, knuckling down, playing a show, no messing about or whatever.
They've had that many years to perfect it, haven't they?
They were so tight, man. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, you got to be when you're like...
Yeah. Well, how long have they been going for now? It's got to be 20 plus years.
Yeah, they've been going since...
What is it, like mid-90s?
Late 90s, early 2000s.
We'd have been waddling around in fucking nappies and about that whilst they were thrashing about on stage and stuff. That fucking... That blows my head off. You know when you hear about bands like... sort of like Disembodied, Martyr AD and stuff like that. And you sort of think, they were proper moshing about and stuff when we were just like, we were just being born and they had like people in front of them moshing the shit out of each other to Seven Stitches and shit. And it's like, oh man.
Knuckle Dust again,
isn't it? Knuckle Dust all over again.
Knuckle Dust has been going since 96, they're still going. Archangel been going since like 96, 95. And like, late 90s, and they're like still going today.
They've always, like we said, it's pretty much at the beginning. If you want to do it, you will do it. If you want to stick with the hardcore, you will stick with it. And well, certain bands like that, as you say, Knuckle Dust, Archangel, things like that, they've stood the test of time. They've not sort of gone, nah, we'll have a little bit of a break and come back. Like they've all just done the whole fucking shebang, gone through the thick and thin of it all, haven't they? Really.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think because they know it's not like a money-making thing. They, like, you know, you listen to, like, your mainstream metal bands or whatever, and they're insane, and then they get a bit sort of shit towards the end of their lives.
Yes.
For want of a better word. There's no bad Knuckle Dust album because they never write in to please anyone or make a few quid, you know?
It's all about...
The same for Archangel, for the rest of it.
Yeah, that's what it's about, isn't it? Just doing it properly, yeah. And yeah. Well, as you say, I don't think there is a bad Knuckle Dust album. I don't even think there's any questionable ones either. No.
If there is, you'd be too scared to mention it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and you'd fucking keep your opinion to yourself and you'd fucking listen to them anyway. And that would be the end of that. Yeah, no, touche. I probably would be a bit afraid, like.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it. I would never say that.
Not for shit.
No. Not if I wanted to survive. Do you know what I mean?
Big time, man.
Right. Big well, time. I think that pretty much covers us in terms of music. There, I mean, is there anything else you want to mention about in terms of? Obviously, we mentioned about their Mentally Vexed and Fractured TV. Is there anything else that you guys are involved with, sort of hardcore wise, or just in life in general that you're throwing about and stuff?
Listen to Suppress.
Listen to Suppress.
Worst. Yeah. The worst best band in the Midlands.
Birmingham has actually
specifically Birmingham.
Birmingham spots out some decent little bands. When you who else have we got from Birmingham then? So obviously we got Manlet, which are Coventry.
Phase two I can't stop listening to them.
Mate, the For the Core EP was fucking sick. And way that they promoted that as well is like obviously they got that first two songs and then it's almost like they've got like a 4-song EP behind it. It's like they almost went they did like a 2020 promo but did the 2019 EP behind it. It was like that's marketing genius right there. That was sick. And I like it. Right, this is one thing I've been meaning to ask you, and I don't know if I'm allowed to know this or not, but you know the whole RTO thing, what the fuck does RTO stand for? Right. Or am I just missing something?
It's not a question for us. It's not a question for us.
Have I got to save that?
I don't think we're in the inner circle.
No question.
I'll save it then.
It's like If you ever get with them, ask them. It's like, they honestly, like, they're great lads, and they're like good friends of mine, and they're like sick bands. Like, obviously, like, Phase Two came Stranded off the back of Stranded.
Trying to represent them on them right now.
Hey, there we go.
Honestly, I was so gutted when they broke up. I think I've religiously watched their final Glasgow show, which they did there a good like 10 times. It's ridiculous.
It's like you just notice the RTO guys, so sick. Like, all the music they put out is sick.
It's like they've got some weird chemistry. Like any mix of those guys together will write good songs.
The musical Midas touch.
And I don't know exactly. They've got it.
Do you know
whoever it is? They've
got
about
it.
It's crazy.
They really have. They really have. Do you know what, mate? I'm gonna press on them. I'm gonna find out what they're all listening about. That's it now. I'm gonna be like, listen, yeah. I said Mantlet have said yeah. I'm gonna get right onto them.
Snitcher aside,
isn't it? That's what it is. So we had a few hosts from Birmingham. So as I say, we've got Cauldron, Suppress, Phase Two. Is there any other drum bands we need to mention here?
Check out Severance, Climate Fear. Climate Fear, CVXC.
Are they actually?
Well, Severance.
So, inside joke.
So he's a part of it regardless whether he likes it or not.
Yeah. They're like one-fifth CVXC.
It still counts. 20% is better than fucking nothing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Climate Fear, Cruelty.
Yeah, Cruelty are great.
I see.
Splintered. Yeah. Who sort of turn up to shows when they're booked sometimes.
Yeah, I was.
May or may not have been writing music for the last however long that might or might not ever make an appearance.
Well, yeah, it'll turn up when it does.
Exactly.
It's kind of like they did that with the last album. They were like, yeah, we've got stuff, but we'll let you know when we're going to release it.
They just do it in their own time, don't they? They don't really give a shit.
Nah,
they don't care whether you want to hear it or not. They'll do it when they're ready.
Start for a good time, aren't they, the lads?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what matters. Oh, fucking sick. Right, well, as I say, I think that covers everything musically there. So, is there anything else that you can think of coverage-wise that you want to get promoted out there at all? Anyone else you can give shout-outs to or think of? Kickback for fucking ever. Fucking hell.
I've got nothing else to
Wait, I'm outside of Birmingham. Trying to think. Intent to Kill, Mourning. Down in London, you've got the Eruption bands. That new Urban Warfare.
That Bandcamp release there was fucking sick.
I don't know if anything else is going to... Obviously, no one knows it. It came out, last night? I really hope they actually do something and it's not just a lockdown thing, because that is...
They need to throw a secret set out every once in a blue moon and just be like, listen, lads, this is going down. But I guarantee everyone will go fucking ape for it.
Yeah. Oh, big time, man.
Didn't that Burn Alive just drop something?
Yeah, Burn Alive.
Like an hour ago.
This evening, like while I was waiting to join the Zoom call, I checked it out.
They're a new band. They're on the UK Hardcore Returns.
Yeah. So they dropped something on Bandcamp today.
Oh, there you go. Fucking hell. Yes.
Literally an hour ago, and it's wicked. It's just chaos.
It's like fresh off the press. I love this.
Exactly, man. Insider information.
Yeah. It is, honestly, mate. I feel like I'm doing illegal stuff. It's sick. What have you got there? You got any EPs that you want to be fucking getting rid of? Like dodgy dealings.
I think their first show is the UK Hardcore Returns one, too.
Along with yourselves, of course.
Yeah.
You know, awesome. There you go. That's...
There's many more bands to be announced than that, but it's gonna be sick. You got great band Last Wishes and Venn.
Payday.
Payday. Yes, of course. Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah,
that's
check
gonna be
out
great.
Fucking Mantlet on their UK Hardcore Returns once that actually finally comes through. Oh, and then fucking hell. As soon as we can get it up and going, we'll catch each other at shows again and give each other air hugs and then punch the shit out of each other and just have a fun. That's always the way it goes.
Yeah. Oh, it's the best.
Fantastic. Right, well, I think that pretty much covers for me. Matt, have you got anything to add there, my man?
Just a massive thank you for joining us, really. Thanks for a good chat. It was a laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks for having us.
Thoroughly appreciate you coming on
whenever you want, so... Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. We'll as soon as any new releases come about and stuff, start getting a bit more information from yourselves and like anything like information wise comes through. As I say, you know, we'll be back on to you, chatting your head off, chatting wham, and just seeing what's going on in the world. Yeah.
We'll keep in touch for sure, mate.
Fucking sick. So sick.
Of course.
All right. Well, you two look after yourselves, and as I say, hopefully we'll be able to catch each other soon.
Yeah. You guys too.
Cheers,
thanks so much.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks so much.
Right, so that episode there marks the end of episode one with Mantler. Really, really hope you enjoyed the episode there. Make sure you check them out. I'll be putting loads of links on all episodes for anything that they have endeavoured in, either singularly or as a band together. Just make sure you keep up to date with anything on socials, which we'll have on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, you name it, it'll be on there. We'll fire it overseas.
Definitely. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks again.